My mother was saying, you know, life is like a tapestry and you're sewing it and creating all the design as you go. And there's nothing more true for the adventure traveler too, because you get to sew in the countries you've been to and the experiences you've had. And you don't know necessarily what's coming, but you might be setting the table for a bigger, broader adventure later. And all of a sudden that becomes the mandala within the tapestry which you're sewing together.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. All right. I feel like today's guest and the following conversation has been a long time coming on this podcast. I have here with me Jordan Campbell, who has a long career of adventures that have taken him on countless pursuits all over the globe. And we're going to get into some of those adventures here today, as well as what Jordan calls the Tao of Adventure, which I can't wait to dig into and hear more about. So Jordan, after all these years, welcome to the mic. Welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you're here.
Well, I am absolutely thrilled to be here, Jackie. This has definitely been a long time coming. So thanks for making it happen. Thanks for chasing me down. I'm really grateful.
We're so grateful to Oboz Footwear and Osprey Packs for partnering with us and supporting the podcast. So please stay tuned for more about them later on. I have an opportunity for you to join me in real life for some real travel. Here's the latest Jump Adventures update. We are going to Greece for a bike and boat island hopping adventure this May 9th to 16th, 2025, and we still have space left. Check out jumpadventures.com to learn more and book now. We're going to have a yacht all to ourselves with ensuite cabins on board, so you get to sleep in the same bed every night as we start in Athens and make our way west toward the island of Corfu. You'll have your own bike for the week, e-bike if you want one, for cycling the islands as we go, in between meals crafted by our private chef on board, and all the relaxing you want to do on the top deck under the Mediterranean sun. These bike and boat adventures are our most carefree and relaxed trips. All you have to do is say yes and show up, and there's still space. Head over to jumpadventures.com to grab your spot now, and we'll see you there. I think that this is going to be fun, and I'm going to ensure that we start with some laughs, because I think it would only be appropriate for us to share the story of how we met and what we did in Bulgaria. Was it Bulgaria?
It was Bulgaria. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Would you like to start?
Sure. I would be happy to share that. I mean, I think your listeners would probably want to know that we were on a press tour, a press junket, mm-hmm. or whatever, in the Balkans. And we were in Kosovo, Macedonia, and ultimately Bulgaria. But it was mm-hmm. broken into two trips. And we got to meet each other and know each other in the Kosovo block. Mm-hmm. And then we finally went and toured Bulgaria, and we did a huge long bike ride one day, and I got lots of great photos and videos of you. And then, you know, they set it up to have this kind of party and festivities, and all of a sudden they said, well, we really want to marry a couple of people here today. And somehow you and I decided we would do that, probably drinking some of the rakia that they had given us, and we got married. We got married. Yeah, that's how we got to. And the photos are just ridiculous. You look great, but I look like really weird wearing this like some crazy furry hat from, you know, 170 years ago or something. So
Oh man, that was so funny, because I don't even know if either of us really knew what was happening until it was happening. Like, they were throwing costume on top of me, and that stuff was heavy. It's like carpeted, you know, things and skirts and shirts, and there you are with this hat on, and they're just pushing rakia in our faces. If any of you guys listening have traveled in the Balkans, you understand that rakia is like, it's like the house made vodka almost. It's like they make it everywhere. It's local everywhere, and it's the thing to do when you arrive somewhere. Like, you drink rakia with people. And so there was a lot of that going on this trip. I remember one of the pictures that we have of the actual, I don't know if it was a ceremony or the moment or whatever, of when you and I got married in Bulgaria. I have this look on my face that I have never even seen on my face before, because they had put another glass of rakia in my face. And I had one eyebrow to the sky, and I just staring at this thing like, you want me to drink another one? Oh man, it was fun though. It was festivities and music.
It was a really magical press event. I mean, I think from all the certainly like the media coverage I've done on countries that for exciting adventure travel, that was my favorite trip ever. Because
really?
We got to, yeah, I think so. Yeah. Because it was a good long time and we did a lot with a lot of great people. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we actually ended in Bulgaria. And I remember the feeling of actually like capturing the feeling of the Balkans was so extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's magical. There's gypsies and it's just a part of the world I had not had a lot of experience with. And, you know, we rode that train with the guy with the accordion, or I can't remember what they're really mm-hmm. called, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, just things that made that a particularly special trip, mm-hmm. you know. So I would rank that as one of the best adventure travel experiences I've ever had. And I wrote a piece for National Geographic about that. Didn't include the wedding part, but I did include that we all made like rose oil for which is the DNA for all the perfumes that go around the world. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yep. There were a lot of really cool things that we did on that trip. I also specifically remember in Bulgaria, do you remember the bread, like the fresh bread that they would,
yes.
It's like there was bread and there was rakia. Both of these things are part of the welcoming, like break right. bread and eat bread with me and drink rakia.
Right. And you put salt on the bread. You remember that? You put salt on it. Yeah. So it was just this, it is something we all have here, mm-hmm. but we just, there's something about doing it in Europe mm-hmm. and in Eastern mm-hmm. Europe or the Balkans that just makes it like, it's a thing.
Yeah. And so. Always to the backdrop of singing. Do you remember how musical those people were? They were always instruments and there were always voices.
Yes.
I remember being inside of one of their houses when the woman, I think, cooked for us and the man, like they were married and they, I mean, we had, it was silent and they were singing just like with this harmony that was it was soul moving. It was deep.
Yes.
And you could feel it vibrating through the chairs. It was amazing. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. I brought forward a lot of those European traditions. And one other thing your listeners would appreciate too, is we went on, did that hike and it was Stella she just stopped in the middle and she was our tour guide and just started singing. She said, well, this is very normal for us here in the Balkans. We just stop in the middle of the mountains and start singing. I'm like, who does that? You know, so I thought, it was pretty, that was the kind of stuff that made it magical. So mm-hmm. here's to the Balkans and here's to Bulgaria.
Yeah. You know, if only really. We had rakia to cheers with, because I know how much we both love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that stuff a little too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple mornings I remember thinking that.
Oh man. Yep. Yep. That was 2016, nearly 10 years ago.
Yes.
So I feel like there's a theme lately in my world of bringing back things from like a decade ago. I mean, we just celebrated 11 years podcasting, which is crazy. And, but yeah, so that's why I feel like this has been such a long time coming. 'Cause you and I have actually known each other for quite a long time now, and we've been in touch over the years and we've seen each other and, you've even been mentoring me a bit. And I mean, I appreciate that. So I love that. One of the things, I actually just was saying this to a friend yesterday, is you just never know who you're going to meet around the next corner. And I've always told myself this as a piece of like hope, you know, because the travel stories we create are so wild. You just can't make them up. You have to go live them, you know, and you just never know like who that next person is that you're going to be rubbing elbows with or climbing a peak right. with or whatever it is. And then how the trajectory of that relationship could even mark some changes in your life. And I mean, alter your path a bit and enrich your entire story. It's amazing to be able to then continue that and celebrate that. 9 years later and be on a podcast. I mean, look at us now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I will just add this too. It's been really great for me to watch the sort of growth of your brand, of your podcast, of your journey and all the travel. I can't even keep track of what you've done. I mean, it's crazy. And that's what you do though, you know? And So anyway, it's been great to bear witness to it. And also that you received this award from iHeartRadio and, you know, so congratulations and on your journey all the way around, Jackie.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And honestly, it goes both ways. I mean, I can't keep track of everything that you're doing either. And that's kind of where I want to like start with today, because I know that, you know, when we met, you were with Marmot in marketing. And I know that you were a writer and a storyteller, and now you're a filmmaker, and your path has gone all over the place. So, but I know that all of that came from you, from what makes up you, from the adventurous Jordan, you know? So why don't you tell us, like, who are you? Who are you? Where did you get your start? And how did you get to even where you are now?
Well, you know, I don't know where I am right now, as I've just completed a documentary film about Ukraine and the war in Ukraine, which is a very heavy film, but it's also really important and all of that. And we just world premiered it in Washington, D.C. with the ambassador giving remarks right there at the Lisner Auditorium. So definitely hitting a milestone as a filmmaker, trying to make a film in the middle of a conflict and all of that. But, you know,
congratulations, by the way.
Thanks very much. Yeah. And there's a lot I'm not allowed to share just yet, but we've been accepted to a couple of film festivals. So that's all very exciting. And, But it was the real deal. I was there four times and filmed on the front lines. But really, all the sort of adventure life started for me when I was graduating from high school. I mean, I traveled around Europe with a couple of friends for a month, and then you know, came back. And I think in 1992, I'm kind of dating myself, which is okay. You probably have some younger listeners that will go, huh? What you got this guy on for? But, you know, all that to say, yeah, let's not do dates. You can cut that out of your podcast.
Just call yourself a trailblazer. That's what I call myself.
Okay, I like
blaze
that.
Blaze the trail.
I'm blazing a real old trail. So anyway, I think, you know, I went to India when I was 24, and I really, it was just a mind-blowing expedition, and it was a climbing trip where I was the only American on an all-British expedition, and, you know, learned about Himalayan climbing, and it was truly like adventure, like where you're stepping into the unknown. You really don't have any guarantees. You don't know what the outcomes are going to be. People can die, all the rest of it. So that kind of goes 30 years ago, this thing was going on. And then I guess I would say that, you know, my risk tolerance was up from the very beginning, early on, of what adventure and what travel looked like for me. So I've always liked rough and tumble adventure and, you know, stuff where you just don't know what the outcome is going to be. And I meet a lot of people, yourself included, that try kind of pretty scary stuff and just long, you know, kind of uncomfortable travel and hard travel. So India kicked that off. And then I did a lot of other expeditions. I was really a committed mountaineer and climber and alpinist to some degree. And I climbed in Peru. I climbed back in Tibet. I climbed in Nepal twice. And then I climbed in Tibet about 20 years ago. And I saw a lot of people, you know, through my journeys in general, I just saw a lot of people that were underserved. And even though I was really committed to mountaineering and climbing, I was going through the backyards of a lot of, you know, countries where people just don't have access to healthcare, for example. And so I saw a lot of that in Tibet. And I saw it in Nepal. And I went back to Nepal and did sort of a big project with the North Face about 20 years ago. And we went in with a team of North Face athletes, with Peter Athens and Conrad Anker, and really, you know, the sort of main athletic group. And we were all climbers helping we were all climbers helping cataract surgeons. And we spent 2 weeks trekking through southern Nepal and helping in the eye camps and helping people, you know, restore their blindness through these doctors. And it was a great expedition, but it was climbers going out and helping people. And then we actually did climb a peak at the end, but that was not really the focus of the trip. So it was kind of trying to set a precedent. And to some extent, you know, we were trailblazing, like what can alpine climbers do to give back to these amazing countries that have hosted us to do these expeditions and let us climb their gorgeous, beautiful, majestic mountains. So that was just part of my journey. But then I really got into the whole, you know, humanitarian work. And what was great is the unintended consequences. You go into these places, and whether it's Nepal or Tibet, or you know, they're grand adventures in general. But even the humanitarian work was just really just as much of an adventure for me too. And so the adventure travel was just baked into all this trip, all these trips, you know. And the biggest one we did, arguably, was going to South Sudan in 2011, and we were working with the same cataract surgeon. His name is Dr. Jeffrey Tabin, just to make sure everyone knows who does this kind of crazy work. And we went in with his team at Cure Blindness and dropped in for about 1 week and helped facilitate a ton of surgeries as well. And I did another story for National Geographic at that point, or maybe that was my first story. And I was, you know, I was a corporate guy, but I was also, you know, moonlighting a little on the side, writing these articles for magazines and digital platforms. And so that was like a moment too. You know, I was like, wow, this just feels so good. And the adventure of seeing South Sudan and getting into the world's newest country to have access to that was really special. And, you know, a major adventure. So that's kind of how it got going. And then, you know, I can pause there and you can ask questions. But then I got more into just brass tacks journalism and all of it. So
yeah, I actually would love to pause just because I feel like, wow, what you just said was it was like a layer of creating a masterpiece, like just layers of creating a masterpiece of this like adventure. But I kind of want to bask in it for a second because you just brought up several elements that are so human. And yet when we consider adventures and travel, like we think about going and having fun and like having a break. Maybe the word vacation comes to mind, you know, like we're not working, we're going to, I don't know, reward ourselves. Maybe that's another word that comes to mind. But what you've just painted is a picture of like, okay, here's what we're interested in. We're climbers, right? Here's a group of climbers that this is something we love. We love being in people's backyards because it takes us on the right trails to the right places where we can fulfill these dreams of climbing big peaks or whatever. And yet along the way, you're witnessing something that then you're taking to heart and learning about these people. You're in the place, you're getting to know them. This is not just a number to you anymore. This person has a name and a face and becomes a friend, and you see the way that they're suffering, and that stays with you. And it becomes then a quest of what can I do? How can I help? And where can I show up? And then you're on another kind of adventure with your same people, but the highlight that used to be climbing the peak becomes the backdrop, and the story, the real story, is the human part. And I love this so much because I know that what you're talking about is above and beyond. Like you're actually going and doing work with companies that are out to cure blindness. This is amazing. And that's like an extra step. And it's a wild thing to think that really any of us can do that. Like we can just get interested in it, research it, sign up and go do the thing, right? You got to hear about it somewhere though. But at the same time, like you've got to have it in here. You've got to have it in your heart first. Like you're not going to know about it. You're not going to care about it until you experience it. And so much of what we do on adventures is connecting with those local people and hearing the real story and seeing what's actually happening behind the scenes, which is why we in our industry of adventure travel are such proponents of adventure travel, because it does take you into those interactions. It takes you to those people. It takes you to those stories, and you don't get to be a part of that investment in the world unless you're aware of it, you know, and unless it becomes a part of you.
Yes.
And so going back to something so simple as, you know, you can't love a thing if you don't know it. You're not going to want to protect a thing if you don't know it. And so once you get out to meet it and know it and bring it into your life and then want to act on it, it becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of your story. And then you add to its story and it becomes this beautiful thing. Yeah. And I just wanted to really just kind of bask in that for a minute, because you just built that by saying all that, but I didn't want to just let it go by. Like, this is something that captures, I think, adventure lovers and people who are starting to make a difference and becoming humanitarians out of just being adventurers. And so thank you for sharing all of that, because it was like, wow, yeah, this is what we need to hear. This is what we need to hear.
That's really nice. Yeah, I do. I feel like thanks for saying all of that. I think that it feels like that some of those trips have been really hard, super uncomfortable too. But, you know, everyone's like, God, thank you for doing that. It's like, wow, the privilege was mine. And in the because you go, like you said, you drop in to these cultures and you are totally connected with a team of doctors or nurses or clinicians, in the case of going to South Sudan, and you're like working with them for a week and they become your friends for life and you stay in touch for life. And it's just like any kind of adventure where you are really connected with the local cultures is where it all, that's where the magic happens. I don't think any of your listeners are anxious to have a wildly curated experience. I think they want to have like that next level, or they're moving in that direction where they can really connect with people. And that's where the magic, I think, happens. And I think the humanitarian stuff that I've done, that work, whether I was actually trying to volunteer a little myself, or if I was authoring some project, or, you know, writing an article, or maybe making a film project, it just, the journey is just connecting with people and learning who they are and what their stories are. And you're right, they're not just a number, they're somebody you meet. And some of it's been hard too. Like in Ukraine, of course, I had a lot of, you know, people I met, and some people were lost their lives to the war. I mean, that's been a lot. And, you know, we don't need to get into all that. But, you know, I've had a lot of great experiences and things that I wouldn't take back forever. I mean, the most magical and important seminal moments of my life have been doing these humanitarian trips. So adventure travel is just baked into those things inherently. And so, you know, I think around the time I met you, I'd done a lot of this kind of, you know, reporting and journalism. And that was 2016. And it was the same year that I met you, I started working with a pediatric cardiac surgeon in the Middle East. And that was, and a whole group of Eastern Europeans that were working all over Ukraine and Libya and Iraq and Lebanon and Serbia and, you know, Africa and the Dominican Republic. They were all over, and they still are. And that group is called Global Cardiac Alliance. And I went in and did a story for National Geographic on them in Libya, and then another story in Iraq for Men's Journal. And then I actually got me to Ukraine, and they were going in and doing, you know, instead of like eye care where you're doing like 10 minutes, 20 minutes per eye surgery, you work with them, maybe the local population, for a week from the beginning of the intake of the patient to the time that they're released and their surgeries are over. When you do heart surgery on a little baby, you know, you're working with the family for, you know, maybe a year. You know, there's a lot of, you know, getting ready for the surgery, making sure the resources are in place. And so it's a whole nother tier of commitment on both sides. And you're having a huge impact on just not only the parents and the child, but also the grandparents often are involved, because it's an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So you're having a lot of impact. And those adventures were really fun and really exciting. And, you know, I got to travel with the group, and they, from Eastern Europe, all the Eastern European clinicians would fly in, and they'd have cured meats from Serbia or, you know, chocolate from Ukraine. And they'd always smuggle in vodka and things I shouldn't probably be saying. But, you know, and that part was, you know, we actually had rakia in Benghazi,
sure,
Libya, swear to God. And yes. So, you know, I did many trips with them. I did probably 6 or 7 trips around the world with them.
Amazing.
And so that was really helpful too. Sort of rounding out my journeys in the Middle East and North Africa, and then, you know, I did some work in Cameroon and in Colombia and in Guatemala, working with, you know, whether it was women's issues, and or, you know, in Guatemala, I was working with another hospital just doing general medical work. I went back to Nepal, did some more work in a general medical camp. And in Colombia, I was working with sustainable farming. So, you know, it, again, just the bedrock to all of this is wild adventure and exciting adventure. And so that's been like magic. So if I ever really had wanted to travel the world, the last 10 years, I've probably done some of the most meaningful international travel.
We'll come right back to that. Let's take a moment now to thank our wonderful show sponsors. During the month of April, join me and Oboz Footwear for the fun and friendly Trails for Trees Challenge, an invitation to hike as many trails as you can in the entire month of April. For every hike over a mile, Oboz will plant a tree and you get entered to win weekly prizes. So the more you hike, the more trees you will help plant and the more chances you have to win. It's free and you can register and join anytime from April 1st to April 30th. It's open to walkers, hikers, runners, and people using mobility assistive devices. Find out more and join us at Trails for Trees.com. Osprey is the market leader in technical outdoor, travel, and everyday packs. And I've personally used Osprey packs since 2015. My favorites are the Fairview Trek 50 for multi-day hikes, the Cirrus 24 for day hikes, the Transporter Rolling Duffel 60, which is my trusty check luggage for faraway adventures, and of course, the countless packing cubes I use to organize everything that goes in them. We are proud to support each other on the podcast and beyond. We love getting outside and we want to see more people outdoors. So find out more and join us at osprey.com. What I'm hearing is, I mean, we just have just gotten to hear a lot of your story and I am so glad you've written stories along the way. But it's a really great testament to how just one story and one person's story as it pertains to travel can evolve. Because, you know, you're not talking about the peak climbing now and all of that. It's completely changed, but it's been a completely organic shift for you. And it's just due to the exposure and the trips that you've had and the things that you've learned and how that has helped to shape where you've now gone and how you've applied what you've learned and are wanting to share that with the world. And it's really neat. It's like you're taking that whole masterpiece and just putting it to life, like bringing it to life and creating it in such a way that it can be shared with other people to essentially what? Invite them? What is the purpose of it all?
Well, that's a really great kind of segue into the broader conversation of just like what you were talking earlier about, that's just, you know, that when you travel, it just opens the horizon line so much. It makes better human beings, I feel. Let me say it more succinctly. I think that traveling the world really forms, you know, a broader, better world vision and makes you a better person. And I feel like from my personal journey that I understand the world so much more by traveling and taking those extra turns in different places to go, I'm going to check this out, or I'm going to just explore this one place that might feel a little scary, or this might feel a little uncomfortable, or I'm allergic to fish, so it's hard for me to go to like, you know, tropical islands and expect to eat well. I might have to just, you know, whatever. There's workarounds, but all that, just these are things that just open your horizon line. And I feel like when I talk to the tribe of international travelers, whether it's, you know, whether they're going to Europe or they're going to South America or just any part of the world, I learn something from them. And then I also just get more inspired myself. We share stories and then we have this broader worldview and we understand, you know, how much we're all the same in so many ways. And that, you know, and then you see the vast differences. But you're a student of the world by traveling and doing the adventure side of it. So, yeah, I like that. And I think I was going to say, too, I gave a talk. I've sort of been coming up with this idea. If you want me to talk about this now, I can. I don't have to.
Let's get into it. Yeah. Well, I mean,
I don't think I have any answers, and I don't even know if I'm sort of just like,
that's right,
ready, shoot, aim. But, I've been giving all these talks about Ukraine. They're like hard stories often. I show the film or I show a six-minute teaser in Washington or finally the film. And everything's around conflict, war and conflict. But if you start – I was kind of going back almost full circle to my roots because I still get out all the time in the backcountry skiing here in Colorado, or I go hiking or maybe do some ice climbing, which seems to be getting a little bit harder every year. but
it's the ice.
Yeah, the ice has gotten harder. That's a good way. I'm going to remember that. But uh, But, you know, I do. I think I came up with this idea of, like, what is adventure like for me? And then I came up with the Tao of adventure, sort of just spitballing off of the Tao of the Tao Te Ching. And just like there is a way and a flow to adventure in one's life. And then it's almost a metaphor, too. Like, how do you come at your life? Do you come at your life with an adventurous lens, looking through an adventure lens? Or is life pretty, you know, curated, maybe smaller in scope, more provincial? And, you know, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just what is your adventure Tao? You know, what is your adventure launch in your mind? And I gave a talk just recently up here in Telluride to an amazing store company called Jagged Edge. And, I gave a full hour-long discussion with quotes off the Tao Te Ching and just quotes from famous climbers about, you know, adventure and just mountains and dreaming big. And I can't tell you that it was this, like, you know, magic bullet of, oh, yeah, well, I get the Tao of adventure. But I think I communicated something that felt pretty right on, and that was just that adventure is a state of mind, and you have a kind of dial. You can dial it way up or you can dial it down to something, and it depends on how you're feeling that year, that month, that week, you know, or the season of your life. You know, I'm getting older now. I can't realistically go to the Himalayas and get a project done with a lot of confidence. I can still go for it, but I don't know where I would land. The state of mind about that is not like, you know, let's go for it. I still like the idea. And then when I get quite a bit older and I can't do those trips, then that's okay too. But I talk to people who are adventurers. I know I'll talk to people even now and they're doing things I don't think I'll ever get to do. And I'm like, wow, you know, or it's just a little too far in one direction or another that I couldn't really see myself doing that. And that's okay. But I want to hear all about their story.
Right.
I want them to tell me. Like, I'm just excited that I finally stumbled on that you'd been going to Costa Rica when you were like a young teenage woman, you know. So, I mean, that tells me why you are where you are today. And I would love to hear more about those stories, you know.
Right, yeah.
So, I don't know. That's kind of the tip of the iceberg on this whole Tao of adventure.
Yeah, and I think that it's probably very individual according to each person. But let's talk about it for us. So I think what it starts with is really like, what do you define as adventure? What is it to you?
Yeah, that's okay. You didn't catch me flat footed, but it is a big answer. So yeah. But I can tell you what, I mean, my best short answer is really stepping into something that's truly, there is no guaranteed outcome. Where you step in, whether it's a climbing expedition, or for me, reporting on the front lines of the war in Ukraine, or if it's, you know, stepping into a country that's pretty kinetic, maybe a hostile environment, those are big. But I think, yeah, just starting the journey with no expectation, embracing what comes to you, you know, that's enough to make it an adventure. And, you know, you look back, I think I've had three like really major adventures in my whole life. And they were maybe four, climbing in India, climbing in Tibet, doing eye care in South Sudan and reporting in Ukraine. Those are the big, when I think back across my life, and two of them are, you know, mountaineering and expedition trips. And the other two were philanthropic and journalism and, you know, But all of it was the characters and the things that I just didn't see coming that threw me curveballs, and I had to negotiate and navigate through that. So that feels like those are my biggest adventures. But then I think of like even the trips that I took, one with you, and you know, we got married. that was an adventure I did not see coming, you know, any more than you did. You know, so I think that is just, those are the kind of things you have to like
roll with.
Yeah, I know. And you go, wow, how did I get into this situation? And
yeah.
So
some are more festive than others.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But how does having an adventure mindset help you? I mean, especially throughout some of these bigger ones and to a point where, yes, you've done massive, massive things, really big things that I think most people listening probably will only ever hear about, you know? I mean, even including myself, some of the stories you've told is like, I can only imagine what that must be like. But what you just said about, you know, the adventure really is when there's no set outcome, and that can happen in anyone's backyard at any time. And I mean, I love to encourage people to just step outside their comfort zone, which I think I would probably define as adventure as well. And it's right. It has the same kind of foundation. It's that maybe you know where you're starting, but you don't know where it's going. You don't know what's going to happen, and you have to rely on your strengths and your courage and your resourcefulness to get you through. And yes. And that's where I guess we could talk more about, like, you know, where the mindset comes in, but maybe you can speak to that.
Well, the thing I would say about that is, you know, let me back up. You might have to like delete what I'm saying here, but the M's and R's, but I think of all the state of mind of adventure. If you get good at going out into, you know, uncertain environments, whether it's rock climbing or, you know, remember, you know, we did that Via Ferrata too. Remember that?
Oh,
that
was how really could I forget?
Big. Yeah. Kosovo. When we were in Kosovo, yeah. We did the Via Ferrata. You were really nervous. I was photographing you. And it was, if you're not a climber or you haven't done Via Ferratas, it's really scary being up high for the mm-hmm. first time. And it can grip you, but you got through that. And just like I've been in the same place you were many times where you're just like, I'm so gripped. This is so scary. And then you come back down and you realize, I'm okay. I got through that. So all the sort of parallels to just living your daily life is what I like about hard travel, adventure travel. You come back, you're wrecked. You might have a stomach bug. You might know whatever you know, we've all gone through that if we've traveled parts of the world. And you catch the flu, or, you know, you just run down and exhausted, or you break an arm, or something happens. And then you've lost tons of weight, and you come back and you recover and you go, wow, I got through that. It was hard. And then I look at my own life, and the day to day can be really hard. We can have relationships that fail. We can have, you know, things happen. We have bad times with finances, whatever. And you realize, well, you know, I got through that one trip that I did to whatever country, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be okay. And also you realize you are, you know, driving your own destiny, and you're in control, and you also, on one hand, and then the other hand is you've learned when to let go, not to hold on too tightly. So a lot of those kind of like parallels come through in those lessons that we learn while we're on a trip, while we're doing some wild adventure, we bring it into our day-to-day life. And I think that is one of the reasons I love to travel so much is it can be hard, and I come back and I always feel like it's just transformed me a little bit more each trip, each country, each embed with whatever group of people, whether they're just friends or they're some kind of medical group doing humanitarian work, or I'm working as a journalist and trying to work with, you know, people I'm interviewing. They teach me about the world. And all the lessons that come with those journeys, I kind of try to integrate them into my experience and then walk the path and walk the earth with a little more wisdom.
I think I love what you're describing. I think it can be related to the hero's journey in a way, because we're stepping outside. And for anybody who doesn't know the hero's journey, it's, you know, I always think of Frodo because basically Lord of the Rings is the hero's journey come to life. Sure. So if you haven't watched Lord of the Rings, that's your homework. But you know, Frodo goes out with no idea what he's doing, but what happens? He meets the people he needs to meet. He grows those courage muscles that he needs to grow, and he continues forward until he accomplishes the thing. And then he returns. And what does he do? He carries that knowledge with him. That's yes. essentially it in a nutshell. And then shares it out. I mean, that's the hero's journey. And this is what happens to us when we travel. And I think this kind of, in a way, also puts some structure to the Tao of adventure, because we start just with the unknown. We're not sure what we're doing, exactly what it is we're signing up for. We just know that, at least for me, you feel it inside. It's like you feel a calling. You know, right. We all watched this happen to Frodo too. Speaking yes. of, while they're in the Council of the Elrond, you know, and the ring yeah. is calling to him, and he's like, "Well, crap, I guess I have to do this," you know, because men can't handle it. Like, I guess the Hobbit needs to stand up and save the world. So, right. so he does. He says, "Yeah." I mean, he feels it to the point where he says, "Stop!" Like, okay, I'm doing this because this is my job. You know, and
yes.
and I think that we can feel that individual calling of something. There's something out there. There's something that speaks to us. Ukraine speaks to you. It might not speak to the person next to you. You know, right. learning Spanish in Costa Rica speaks to me. It might not speak to the person next to me. You know, but those individual callings are what actually get us to step outside of our comfort zone. And then the rest of the story begins to create itself and evolve. And we grow and we learn from it. And then at the end, like, we have all this knowledge and all this that we can apply to our lives and our entire orbit. Hence having a podcast and getting to share conversations like this, because, you know, we feel the need to put it out there, to share and to expose other people to the lessons that we've learned and the stories we've created. And
yes, no, I only was saying, only wanting to chime in and say that it's the lessons learned part that is so fascinating, because we learn them and then we get to pass on the experience to others. And I get a lot of great conversations recently about Ukraine, of course, but like from other people who I had no idea they were interested in some part of the world that I was interested in. But then we find out like they've had a similar experience in a similar country, and or they had a very different experience. And so we share that, and that builds like this international tribe or community of adventure travelers. And there's this... And then, you know, almost to a point where it's become hard for me. I've got so many different great people around the world that I feel like I'm spread thin, like my whole soul is spread across the universe and across the world in a veneer, trying to like be in touch with people. And it's hard. Sometimes you just can't hold that up. But I do feel like the connection, that there's community, and that's where we share these stories. And there's this touchstone. And sometimes it's a podcast like this. That's what I love to see has happened for you, is this podcast has taken off the last few years a lot. And people come here to gain inspiration or wisdom or just study, you know, one part of the world. You had a couple on that did the honeymoon. And like what, you know, that's just a fascinating thing for someone to listen to, because... You know, what if they just got married and they want to take a trip and they want their trip right. to be a honeymoon? What's that supposed to look like, or what might we want to expect, or what can I learn from that? And so you become the touchstone. This podcast is that for people to just kind of find community and build community around that. And, you know, my story is very different from somebody else's, and it's it's what I bring to the table. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole Tao of adventure is fascinating. Like one of the quotes I have, which is such a cliche, which is the ultimate Tao quote for adventure, is the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step, right? I mean, that is, you know, it's almost overused, but I actually tucked that in. And I think I had like 8 or 9 quotes that I was pulling forward. And I mean, I chucked that in there because it's so... beautiful.
It's so true.
And it's like, you said, back to what you said about like, there's a calling I have and I must go do it. And I'm just, you know, and we work towards that, or we do something crazy and spontaneous, which can sometimes be the best adventures of your life. Absolutely. Although I recommend a little planning goes a long way. But, the other quote that I almost ended the presentation on the other day was Helen Keller's quote, which is, life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all, which is a super heavy-duty quote for someone
spicy.
Who... Well, it is, yeah. And I don't know if it needs to be that much. But,
like and white. It's not black and white. We all know this, right?
Yeah.
But
for someone like that to say that is pretty... pretty magical.
You know, I have a fun fact that I don't think I've ever shared this on the podcast. So, but when I graduated from high school, I made my own, what do you call them? Announcements, like my graduation announcements. I was all into digital media, so of course I created my own. And that quote, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, was the front of it. Because I knew at that point, like, this is the step. Like, this is what catapults me into my future. Somehow I knew that, even as a senior in high school, graduating, finally getting out of, you know, that whole first part of life, which really was just like, I don't even, it feels so foundational. But like, my life began after high school is how I feel. And I knew that I was getting there. And that was the quote on my graduation announcement, because I knew I was out. I was going to Costa Rica as soon as I could. And now segues into another thing I am observing about your story, and I know is true about mine. And this is just true about, you know, the human experience, is even when I was making that graduation announcement and putting that quote on it, I knew there were big adventures ahead. I didn't know what they were. I couldn't see beyond just knowing I wanted to go to Costa Rica. You know, I didn't know that 20, oh my God, now I'm dating myself, however many years later, I'd have an award-winning podcast about travel. Like, wait, what? That didn't even exist back then, first of all.
Yeah.
But in the same vein, when you first traveled in India, when you were first climbing peaks, when you first did the first trip with the eye surgeon, you couldn't see Ukraine. Like, you didn't know that that was in your future. And this is one of the beautiful things about this journey, is that when you're willing to show up and say yes and take that step and see what's waiting for you, guess what? There's another step. There's another step, and then there's another one. And it keeps evolving, and you keep following that path that creates something uniquely you, that is an adventure for you.
Right. That's a really great way of saying that. You know, my mother, who sadly just passed away last year, but she was such a world traveler from a very young age, just like you. Like, she graduated from high school and wanted to just do all these crazy things. And she ended up going to Peru and came back. And then she and my dad basically hitchhiked to Peru. And, you know, this is like 1959 or something crazy. Nice. I don't even know. You know, like, you just didn't do stuff like this, you know. but the whole idea was that my mother was saying, you know, life is like a tapestry, and you're sewing it and creating all the design as you go. And there's nothing more true for the adventure traveler, too, because you get to sew in the countries you've been to and the experiences you've had. And you don't know necessarily what's coming, but you might be setting the table for a bigger, broader adventure later. And all of a sudden, that becomes the mandala within the tapestry which you're sewing together. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I like that you brought that up. That is very, very exciting.
I think it is too. I'm like buzzing in my seat over here. I'm literally like, I'm bouncing listening to you, because this is the part that's so exciting, is that when you get out, you discover that courage, you discover that resourcefulness, you discover that strength of being able to get through a hard thing and see that you've made an impact, maybe on other people, maybe on yourself, maybe on the world around you, whatever it is, whatever that looks like, there's something else. There's another thing waiting for you. And that is why I said yes to studying abroad again in Italy for another year after I had already done Costa Rica, because I had experienced that, oh my goodness, that 1 year completely shifted my entire perspective, my entire understanding of who I am and where I sit on this life path and in this world of humans. You know, I there was so much of an explosion of education in that 1 year, and just strength and learning that, like, how could I possibly say no to another experience like that? You know, and that was where this whole thing began. It's just knowing that all of that reward sits on the other side of fear is so worth pursuing, is so worth saying yes to, because you just don't know what it is. I mean, maybe we should do this again in 10 years and see where we are then, and just be able to look back and be, oh my, can you believe that we did this and this and this? Like, we don't even know these things are coming right now. And this is what is so exciting about, like, this endless adventure of life, and just having this adventure mindset is just being ready for it, showing up for it and saying, yeah, like, what's waiting for me? I'm so ready. Bring it on.
I like the idea that you just said, I say yes to things. And, you know, I have that affliction sometimes too, where I say yes too often and I get stretched too thin yet again. But you know, when someone says, let's do something, I always go, yes, and then I'll figure out if I can actually do it. But, you know, because if you constantly are going, well, let me think about it. I mean, I do that too, but, you know, to be fair, but that sense of like, you know, the adventure awaits and it's mm-hmm. going to teach me something. And if I say yes to that and I commit to it, I'm going to learn something. I'm going to gain wisdom. And then I'm a better person. And yeah, I love that you said that. So, yeah, I need to say yes to a few things in my next few weeks, months, about traveling back to Ukraine or you know, Eastern Europe. I love going to Eastern Europe now. It's just one. That's an unintended consequence of me being a war correspondent or war journalist. Is I discovered Poland. What an amazing country! Mm-hmm. Such a cool culture, and I mean, I've just loved that. So that, you know, that's just like part of that journey. You know, I said yes to Ukraine, and all of a sudden, Poland became this huge thing for me.
Yeah.
So. Because you go in and out of Poland every time.
Yep. Sure. Yeah.
What
else? I think that this should be the challenge that we leave for ourselves and our listeners today is what's going to be worth saying yes to? You know, what is it for each of us that we feel? I mean, when we get an invitation, like if somebody says, hey, do you want to go do this thing with me in Ukraine or Poland or Sudan or whatever? We don't always get an invitation. Sometimes we have to seek it out, but I still think that there's an inner knowing. So it can come in two ways. Either we're receiving an invitation or we're creating one. You know, we're going out and getting one. But we still get to choose if we're going to say yes to that. And that is where I feel like we could wrap this up with like a challenge to discern, you know, and to actually show up for that. Because I think we all feel it. We feel like we get, well, I hope that we do, at least. I hope that maybe if you haven't felt it yet, you could turn that switch on and just start to pay attention. You know, if you're listening and you haven't felt that call to adventure before, like maybe you'll start to notice it now that we've talked about it. I think it feels like your own inner voice saying, ooh, I should do that, you know, like without shitting on yourself, just like, this is something that speaks to me. And pay attention to that. What does that look like? And can you actually make it happen? Because guess what? It could be the start of an incredible journey for you.
You know, I also want to add, too, I think this is worth sharing because it's my observation, having known you for 10 years and watching mm-hmm. your sort of building this business, this podcast, and turning people on, is I hear it in you. Like, this is kind of like, you know, we're not talking about one country that I just went to. We're talking about a lot of things that I did across the last 25, 30 years, let's say, and some of your experiences, too. And, you know, it's not like we're talking about one country and the journeys we had or the adventure. I just wanted to share it on your podcast. We're talking like super philosophical on some level. Mm-hmm. And that I love. And I think that you are the interesting story here in the sense that I've watched your journey and I've seen a lot of, you know, your work and your travels across the last 10 years. And it's amazing. And I think you have a lot of wisdom to impart to people too. And I think that your philosophical approach as well is coming through in this discussion. And you should continue to share that because that's what people really want. They want to know about Costa Rica, sure. They want to know what it was like 10 years ago, 20 years ago. They want to know about where you just went in South America and, you know, Canada, New Zealand, Europe, wherever. But they really want, like, give me something, you know, epic to hold on to that is my guide star or my you know, my what's going to create some kind of, I don't know, vision for me. What is going to compel me to do this in the first place? And that's probably what I think a lot of your listeners are going to want to hear, too. And you can share that. You have that. I haven't heard a lot of your guests, but I've heard a lot of them, and they're mm-hmm. great. And they do that for you, too. Mm-hmm. So that's just an observation. I think it's a good
thing.
Thank
you. I mean, that's why I have a show. You know, if I can, if my words can make an impact on someone, we're all winning, you know, and that's me as a host. And this is why I very carefully select my guests.
Well, so. I feel honored. I do feel honored.
It's true. It's so true though. I mean, I think anyone who's listened to my show can attest that we're not out to get like, I don't know, big brand names and stars. Like, that's not what we do here. We're real. We want real stories. We want real people. And we want to just, I mean, go together as we go through this human experience. So yeah, if I can make a difference, that's what I'm here for. So thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
You got it. You deserve it. You've earned that. This podcast has earned it. I can see why you've done so well.
Oh, that's really sweet. Well, Jordan, this has been really exciting. This is a really cool episode. I love the philosophical big picture. It's very Sagittarius of me, and it's coming out. But yeah, I love that kind of talk. This stuff fires me up. It inspires me. It gets me excited about the next thing that I'm going to say yes to. And, you know, to just carry that mindset, that Tao of adventure forward with me. So thank you so much for sharing all of that and just opening up the conversation and sharing bits of your story. Are you going to write a book?
Well, it's definitely something that goes up in my head often. Mm-hmm. I think I should do it. And then, you know, I want to make sure it serves. If it's sure. not, a, you know, it's yeah. not just a book for fun. I mean, I think everybody who's a journalist or a writer wants to share their stories. But I guess I want to get it really chiseled in yep. my mind is exactly what I would want to yeah. present. But I think it would. It would be a lot of the work I've done, kind of what we talked about, you know. Mm-hmm. Really hardcore adventure to humanitarian work to war yeah. journalism to what are the lessons learned and what would my readers want to know about all of that. So mm-hmm. let's just say a hard maybe.
Well, I would hard yes buy that book.
Okay,
so
that's great.
I would encourage
all right.
you. So where can people find and follow you if they're interested in learning more about you and buying your book when it comes out?
Well, the book part, we'll just say that when the book comes out, it'll probably be pushed out through my own website. But yeah, my website's just jordancampbell.com. And that's okay. kind of where you can see some of my adventures and, you know, a little bit about my work in Ukraine. Some of my older stories are posted there, a lot of my photography. And then I have my humanitarian work company, which is Romro Global. That's just R-A-M-R-O. Romro Global. Yeah.
R-A-M-R-O Global.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
cool. Well, I'll put those in the show notes too, so people can easily find them. Any lasting words you want to leave before we sign out today?
Oh, I guess my last comments would be just, I have a lot of gratitude for all the adventures I've had. And I think, you know, just being grateful for every chance I've had to travel the world and do those adventures is really important. That I communicate that and share that with my friends and to you and your listeners and that, you know, that having gratitude for those adventures is really magical because the lessons that come back to you are even that much more rich and beautiful. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I love that. Great. Well, thank you, Jordan. Again, and I appreciate your time. It was great to see you and catch up with you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so glad I got a chance to do this.
Glad we finally got to do this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real honor to be on your podcast, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay. Until next time.
Okay. Safe travels.
Thank you.